of the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast. Exciting, exciting week of ministry. Started off amazingly, actually, before I even took off on the trip to Atlanta to go out there and minister to the people out there. God just did some amazing things. Would you believe that I didn't have anything on my schedule ever since I did the humble healing service at New Covenant Church? God has opened up some amazing things for us. Immediately following that, I was helping a ministry here in Baytown over the phone and logged into their computer. I was helping them get their stream running and make sure everything was put in right and work with their system a little. And all of a sudden, I got an invitation from the pastor. He liked what I was doing. He liked my heart. He loved the testimonies about India, testimonies about the humble New Covenant churches, just healings there. And testimonies start pouring in from that. The day before, he asked me to go preach at his church. He asked me actually to come preach, take that Sunday. So it was on Thursday. Asked me to come Sunday. I'm flying out Monday to Atlanta to be on Greenville, WGGS 16 in Greenville, South Carolina. So it's like fly in, get a car, drive out, and then from there, drive back to Atlanta, and then go to WBPI 49 or 12 in Atlanta, in Augusta. And they actually got me a room for me, so that was really nice and wonderful of Dorothy and Russell and the station there got me a room. And then I came back to Atlanta to finish up. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Atlanta Live, TV 57, in Atlanta. I was on the air over there as well. So I was a guest on those three shows. And many miracles and many healings were coming in as we were on the air. There's some nice things people said about my ministering and ministry. 2 hours that I was in Augusta. Got to tell you about that. So anyway, went to this church, Baytown. Church of New Beginnings in Baytown. I was their first stream, praise God. But then also, I was their first healing minister quite some time. God did miracles. God did miracles and miracles and miracles. Today's guest is going to be Paul Summer at just about the half hour mark, just after 5 after half hour. It's our second segment, and we will be with him talking about whatever he wants to talk about. He's a local ministry here. We're just helping him launch and get some identity out there. We always open the door to those that are out there that sit well with our ministry as far as with things that we do and stuff. So I just want to tell you this, my friends. God is awesome. He opens doors. He opens avenues. I went to go preach over here, and it was a kind of a last-minute service for me to go to, and I went and preached. Do you know that several dozens of people, I would say even 60 to 70 people, got their healing that night or that morning? And I talked about miracles, talked about what God did. There's a woman there that could not close her hands. She could not bend down. She could not move. She could barely even stand. Prayed for her, and she's doing jumping jacks and bending down in the corner afterwards. Several people reported that they got healed before I even got to them, that they felt their healing. So God is doing some amazing things. He's doing some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. And we just have to adjust ourselves, amen? We just have to adjust ourselves to His will and how He does it and not how we do it. I didn't make a call to them in regards to doing a healing service there. It just opened up. Lafayette, just got back from there on Friday. Went to preach there. On Sunday night, got back about 6 o'clock back home. And we preached one service out there and visited for the second service. And I tell you, God did some amazing things. Did some amazing, amazing, amazing things. Many healings that night. Strongest healing service in the United States that I've had so far. In a small, like the rooms at the Holiday Inn, the little ones you can rent for conferences and stuff. And it was amazing. It was just amazing on how those things went. And we were just surprised at just the miracles that happened. I mean, I felt that night just to tell them that the knees were going to be healed. And people were already claiming it. I've heard 4 or 5 women claiming their knees will be healed. And when we went to go pray, I'm right down the line, just gently walking by, gently laying hands on them. You could just hear their knees popping. It was amazing. We had many confirmations. Deaf ears opened that day as well. And just what God was doing. So when you just trust God, just trust His will, just trust what He's doing, not how you plan to do it or what you want to do. He'll open those doors. He'll get you into a place that only He can get you into. And if He gets you into the place, remember this. He will always, always be there. He will always be the one that's going to show up for you. If He gets you into a place, He will show up. We just got confirmed for Kenya. We'll be in Kenya on, I think it's December the 5th. We'll be heading out. But we're going to be at a big conference from the 11th through the 15th and 16th, I think. Anyway, pray for us on those days. We're going to be preaching before like maybe 2,000 pastors and leaders out there for them. And they just called and confirmed. I was waiting because I was about to cancel it because my friend, he's just excited about going. And who wouldn't be excited about going on a mission trip? But he was just wondering, are we really going to go now? And sometimes I feel like Job. Praise God. Do you hear him? Are you sure it's supposed to go this way? Are you sure things are supposed to happen this way? But a couple of good news I've been waiting to say this. And I'm going to go ahead and let it out today because it's done. I just got to get on the plane and it's done. Okay, of course. We have the mission trip. That's going to happen from the 5th through the 17th. I'll be back. So we won't have no shows at that time. You'll be hearing some beautiful Christmas stuff. And I'm flying out to Kentucky for a healing service. So that's just the update on the schedule. I have a healing service in Kentucky. I'm going to install some cameras and stuff. God's really opened that up. I'm not really a pro or an expert on all the setup, but I can get you streaming. That's one thing I can do. When you own a TV station and radio station online, people just assume you're an expert, and there's some things you know that they don't know, and you can help them with it. And that's how God's been opening doors for me. So you just go with what you're doing. Trust that God has your address. Trust that God knows where you're at. Trust that God has a plan and a time for what you're doing. Remember, you can text Rev Media to 77948. Okay, the number is 77948, and you can text the word Rev Media, and you'll be subscribing to our ministry updates and stuff. So when we need prayer, when we're heading out of town, and we're going to be on television like this last time, everyone that signed up was able to get the actual TV sites, the TV stations we're going to be at, we're able to text that to them. It's difficult to get to your email when you're on the road and stuff, but we can all text. And it's difficult for you to get to your email when you're not at home or if you don't have it on your phone. But everybody looks at their text. So we got this new number, dial 77948, and then send the word Rev Media, uppercase, lowercase, it doesn't matter. Just send it over, and we'll be able to get that from you. So anyway, that's happening. But the big announcement we're going to announce today is I'm flying out to Whitaker. And I hadn't put this out as much, but today I'm telling you this. On Thursday, we're flying out to Whitaker, and we're going to finally sign the deal that puts my books from being self-published to being published with Whitaker, and then my author's books from being self-published to being traditional authors with a new label that we're coming out called Banner. So I'm letting the cat out of the bag a little bit early. Should wait till I come back, but I'm confident it'll get done. They bought the ticket. They got my hotel room. They're treating me with 100% just total love and just really honoring me. And that's what God does. When His timing comes up, it's just going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be easy to make decisions. It's not going to be difficult. You're going to trust that you're going to know that you're in the will of God. You're going to know that He's there. Know that what you're doing for God is just being the vessel. Amen. That's all we can do. No one can claim anything else but that. And it's easy. It's like I was telling everybody on the radio station, TV station I was on, I was telling everybody at the healing services, because they're like, wow, you're so humble, you're so just down to earth. It's to me, I tell them this, if you have three teenagers and an elementary child, they're going to let you know right away you're not much. You just let them, that you're just following God and trusting God. And the one thing I enjoy is that this is all building in front. This is all building in front of everyone. That all my kids, they're able to see this. They're able to hear this. They're able to understand. And they can see from when this started and how Dad's passion just loved the Lord. And that I would just go anywhere to do the work of the Lord. And now everything's falling together. In fact, God's secured a financial future just with this Whitaker deal. And y'all keep that in prayer. It's an amazing thing because you got to think of it. How often will a top publisher come to you unless God has sent them to you? Think of it that way. And we have plenty of authors. We're getting new authors. In fact, I have an author here in studio that's going to be on with us, and Mr. Paul Summer. We're going to be with him in just 5 minutes after the half hour will be on our second segment, and we'll be doing that and stuff. But today I have Brian Cutshow with you. He'll be on in just a couple of minutes. You'll hear his interview from the ICRS. Now, Brian is an amazing guy. I mean, he pastors a large church, but also he pastors pastors all over the United States, but he's based out of St. Louis. So when I was at the St. Louis ICRS, it was amazing just to spend some time with some of these men of God. I mean, these are men of God that they have, you have to have an appointment with these guys just to sit with them and understand what they're doing and get a part of their, be a part of their life. Now, we had people calling in the station that were healed, that were delivered. During the airways, I had one lady call in, and I'm going to give you this before we go to the interview. I had one lady that was just amazed at what God was doing in our ministry, and she called the very next morning, and she said, I went by to go have lunch with the owners of the station, and she said that to tell Dr. Yanis that she hadn't laughed that hard in 20 years, and that she didn't know she needed a healing, but she felt better today. So that's one thing. And she said that to keep doing what I'm doing and keep doing the things that I do because I keep it real for them, and they enjoyed it. Another lady called, and then that lady paid $158 for one of my books that cost $15. She just sold a big seed into the ministry there. And another lady called, and what I do is I take books I take my books so that the station can give away and stuff. And another lady called and said that she listened to me for the full 2 hours. She saw it again one more time. She watched the repeat in the morning, on the morning broadcast, and she said that I was the best thing for Christian TV. That I prayed better than these men of God on television. That I preached better than them. That I talked better than them. That I presented the gospel better than them. And she was just, and she said that I need to keep doing television because she was blessed in 30 years of watching television. So that was her best day watching TV. Now that's awesome stuff people tell you. And you don't get a big head over it, but you just know that, use that to confirm that you're doing God's will. Amen. Use that to confirm that God is using you in a great, great, great way. Use that to just encourage you when you look at things and you're like, am I really supposed to be doing this? And you're tired. Just to say yes. Yes, I am. Here's Brian Cutshow.
We're at the ICRS with another great author, Mr. Brian Cutshow. How are you doing? Did I say your last name right, Cutshow?
Cutshow is great, yes.
Oh, wow, got it on the first time. You know what, Lord, I haven't hammered a name yet, but you know, we still got about 15 interviews, so we'll see. Brian, tell everybody who you are.
Hi, I'm Brian Cutshow. I'm the pastor at Twin Rivers and also the author of several books. I also am the CEO of Church Trainer, which is a company that resources and helps pastors do their ministries. So,
oh wow,
we've been around for a while. We do consulting work and training for pastors literally around the world.
Well, you're here in the St. Louis area, then.
I am. Yes,
wow.
I pastor Twin
Rivers. You
didn't
have to go too far.
That's right, right here in St. Louis.
Yeah, how long have you been out here?
I have been here 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. You've seen a lot of growth here.
Oh yeah, I mean the city has changed a lot. Our church has really grown. We start off with 52 people, very small congregation. Now we run several thousand people.
Wow!
So
that's amazing.
God's been really good to us.
That's amazing. So you're already involved before you even wrote your book in pastoring pastors,
yeah,
or helping pastors. Tell us about that.
I feel like I have two callings in my life. Okay. Number one is to be a pastor. Secondly is to help pastors understand how to do their work well.
Okay.
So both of my doctorates are in administration and theology. So it's a part of my life that I have focused intently on helping pastors understand, first of all, how to teach what they believe, and secondly, how to build the kingdom of God.
Okay.
So we focus primarily on showing them how to run systems in their churches and anything that they need, really. Our consultants go out and help them figure out how to do church better.
Oh, awesome. You know, a lot of ministries need that. I do a lot of media, do broadcasting. I get calls from churches. How do I stream? So I build a revenue network, and we stream churches. We have about 80 server churches that stream through us, and we give them 20 bucks a month. It's not a profit-making machine. It's just to help them and just covers our
and
needs.
And that's our goal as well. I mean, this is not about profit for us. You know, obviously, you have to have some profit margin in there to keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really about building the kingdom of God and helping pastors. And honestly, that's what Armor Bearers is about.
Amen.
I wrote this book so that we could help keep ministers in the ministry. I was alarmed when I was sitting in a conference and I realized that every 30 minutes, a minister leaves the ministry.
Really?
Every 30 minutes. Who knew that?
Wow. No, that's an amazing stat.
Yeah, and that we're closing down, just in the U.S. alone, we're closing down 11,000 churches every year.
Really?
They close their doors for the last time. And we're planting churches, but we're not planting nearly as many as we're shutting down.
Wow.
So we have a real vacuum right now in the kingdom, and particularly in the U.S. So Armor Bearers is written to try to build an army of supporters around ministers to keep them going. I know that some people use that term interchangeably, like an armor bearer as a servants who wait on them and entourages who walk in rooms with them. That's not how I see it at all.
Okay.
These are people in your life who understand your calling and your anointing, and they walk with you through life, investing in your life in prayer and encouragement.
Yes.
So I take this concept from the biblical concept of armor bearers that you will see several of them all throughout the Bible. And basically they received honor by going into battle with their generals and bringing them back alive.
Yeah.
So absolutely. The whole honor of the armor bearer is to make sure that we don't die in the battles of life that we fight. So this book is unique in the fact that it deals with a very practical way to be an armor bearer. You know, some people talk about the theory behind it.
Okay.
But this book actually says, do this, do this, do this. It kind of gives you a job description as to how you can build a great support base around your pastor. You know, pastors are facing issues today we've never faced before.
Very true.
Years ago, you know, I've been pastoring this one church 25 years.
All right.
And in the course of time, I have seen our church go from a time where if you could preach a good sermon and sing really well and, you know, all of those things, that you could basically do good church.
Yeah.
But now, pastors have to be good in real estate, business. I mean, yeah. We have to know about parenting. We have to know about, we have to be marriage counselors. We have to be life coaches.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to help people with business. We're literally expected to know a little bit about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're constantly in a research mode, you're constantly in a preaching mode, you're constantly writing something, reading something, and you never shut down your brain.
Mm.
So what happens to a lot of pastors in this vacuum is they end up losing all their relationships, they get too lonely, a lot of their marriages get in trouble, their family life gets in trouble, and then they open themselves up to all the vacuums of pain, like addictions.
Okay.
So we're seeing more of that, where as before, men and women of God never struggled with that, but nowadays they do, and it's because they deal with so much stress in their life. So I'm trying to fix that. I'm trying.
Amen. What's a good thing to do?
I'm trying to create an army of people who really love their minister, who love their pastors, youth pastors, ministers of music, all down the line. And they are helping us keep them encouraged and strong in the fight.
Well, I know the Armor Bearers book, is this kind of an instruction or a guidance manual for those laymen around you?
It really is. I didn't really write this book for pastors. Let me tell you one quick story about this book and how powerful I think it is. A true story from down in the Atlanta, Georgia area. A minister called me one day, ready to leave his wife, ready to leave the ministry. And he asked me, you know, can you help me? And I said, I'll be happy to help any way that I can, but why did you call me? Out of all the people you know, I'm a long ways away. He said that he'd heard me preach a sermon on hurting pastors one time, and he said, I just felt like you wouldn't judge me. And of course I didn't, but he called me and he said, what do I need to do? And I said, I tell you what, let me send you 10 copies of Armor Bearers.
Okay.
And I want you to give these copies to 10 people that you trust in your church. His church was about 500-600 people.
Okay.
And so he was ready to, you know, leave it all, walk away from ministry, his family, everything. I sent him the copies, overnighted them. He gave the book to 10 people. I said, ask them to read it in a week and come together and discuss it, but you cannot be present when they discuss the book because they will not discuss the things they need to discuss with you there. So these 10 people went away, read the book. They came together on a Saturday. The pastor was, you know, he was only going to be there a couple more weeks. He was getting ready to resign in the next 2 weeks. They come to his house. They are weeping. They knock on the door. They come
Amazing.
Inside. They went into his kitchen and got a wash basin and knelt at his recliner where he was sitting, took off his shoes.
Chills, man.
I'm telling you, true story. Took off his shoes and his socks, and they washed his feet and cried over him and prayed over him. Here's the end of that story. The pastor is still there. His marriage is great. his he now orders more copies of this book than anybody I know.
Yeah, I bet.
Gives them away to ministers all the time because he really believes it can save their marriage. So I really strongly suggest that people use this as a small group curriculum.
Okay.
There's discussion questions at the end of every chapter. So I think that if you can get 10 people together and they'll read the book and discuss it, it literally has the potential of changing the attitude of a church. It has the potential of raising the barometer of the attitude.
And you struck a chord there. You're going to strike a chord and continue striking a chord. Is that the honor of serving has gone from a lot of the ministries and a lot of the churches? It's not just good just to preach and have a good preacher, but inside there needs to be a cloak of people that are just honored
Absolutely.
To serve. And that's what's coming to me when I'm hearing you talk.
You know, we struggle in America in particular with a consumer mentality, which means that if we don't like one store, we go to another store. If we don't like one restaurant, we go to another restaurant. We shop for what works for us. We have become the same way with a lot of our churches.
Yes.
So pastors are constantly seeing people they've invested in and poured their life into walking out the door on them. So even the rejection rate alone is something that I know more pastors in counseling right now than I've ever seen before.
Really?
Because they used to be the counselors. Now they're going to the counselors because they deal with such strong rejection rates. I mean, the pressures on them are unbelievable.
Mm.
So the expectation really is unrealistic in a lot of ways because
yes.
you can't be all of that. We have to build the kingdom of God and please God. So consequently, my favorite scripture now is Colossians 3:23.
Okay.
Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. So we got to get pastors back to saying, I'm serving God. I will never make everybody happy. And we have to get the layman saying, my pastor doesn't have to be perfect. I can love my church and serve God and keep my pastor
Absolutely.
Going, and we will have a better church. Because the last thing we need, the last thing any layman needs is a worn out, run down man of God or woman of God in their pulpit.
And they you see that. You see that. I mean, you may not see it on Sunday morning. You may
yes.
not see it on Wednesdays or Sunday nights. But if you go by the house and knock on the door, you see a man very stressed.
Absolutely.
And it's not good.
They walk around, the pastors walk around their offices with their shoulders slumped from all the pressures
yeah.
on their life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be
Do
that
a lot
way.
Of them fall into depression?
A lot of them do. Yeah, that's the reason, you know, that most of the pastors I know are in counseling just
and,
to keep
and
going.
And depression's a real thing. I mean, it's something that all of everyone around the world runs into something
yeah.
like that. And
And you know, I just hope that God will raise up an army of people who will love their pastors and love their churches and would just keep, you know, keep them strong. Because every person I know that got into the ministry, these are some of the most faithful people in the world.
Amen.
And I know I'm a pastor, so I'm not just speaking for me, but I'm speaking for all these people that I know. They love God with their whole heart. All of them got into the ministry. I know there's a few people out there just, you know, building a business
yeah,
instead
yeah.
of building the kingdom. But that's a very small percentage.
I agree.
I think most of the ministers out there are genuinely sold out to building the kingdom of God.
Amen.
They love God with all their heart. They love their families. They love their people. They love their church. They're just dealing with a lot of pain.
You know, and it's about reaching out. And
Absolutely.
It's, you know, for years, if you go back 20 years ago, you know, you wouldn't call another church and say, hey, I'm having these issues. And nowadays, it's like you have to. I mean, you have to say, hey, I need to reach out.
Well, that's another part of the problem. Another piece of this puzzle is pastors don't have anyone to reach out to.
Yeah.
They make themselves vulnerable because they have these expectations. And they have to show someone their weaknesses in order to survive.
Accountability. We all need it. We all need someone to, not just to answer to, but someone to say, hey, come on, let me pick you up.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody how they can get your book, Pastor.
All right. You can do this several ways. You can go to Whitaker House, which is my publisher, and you can buy this book from Whitaker House. You can go to your local bookstore and ask for the book, and I hope that you'll do that because they will be able to get it for you, and hopefully they'll be carrying it already. Or you can actually go to my website,
Please.
Which is churchtrainer.com. That's just those two words together, churchtrainer.com, and you can see all of our books there. And or you can go to amazon.com and download it as an e-reader and on your e-reader and just read it that way.
Well, I just want to pat you on the back because, you know, 25 years longevity, that's
well,
what it's
you.
All about. I mean,
thank
it doesn't matter how quick you get there, it means how long you stay.
That's right.
God bless you. Thank you for being
and
a part
I
of the
And I still love it.
Amen. That's exciting. We'll be back with another great guest in just a minute. God bless.
Thank you.
Tolerance. The Bible commands us to forbear one another and be patient with people differing from us. But the intolerant are afraid to compete in the arena of ideas. They want conservatives off the air right now. And when they run out of logic, they just raise their voices, call names, and say that we are the intolerant ones. Confident believers are not afraid to compete in the arena of ideas. We have two separate cultures here, one based on God's law, the other based on the state as the savior. And if you oppose this agenda, you're a bad person. One or the other shall prevail, not both. A house divided cannot stand. The U.S. Constitution is the greatest obstacle for these Tower of Babel saviors. It prohibits the plunder of life, liberty, and property. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.com on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402. Side with God against yourself and be a winner. 585-4402.
Trace Embry with your license to parent.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that should bring him pleasure or that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? There's a good chance he's experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or even depression, although the symptoms are very similar. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which comes from unbridled multitasking on today's popular electronic gadgets. It's literally a 21st century phenomenon. Unfortunately, medication, instead of moderation, is too often given to our kids as a quick fix. The good news is that anhedonia is reversible, but parents are going to have to be proactive in limiting their children's techno usage.
Trace Embry is passionate about seeing lives transformed and families restored. Go to LicenseToParent.org for materials and helpful resources for your family. LicenseToParent.org.
Put down that soda and back away. New research shows drinking one sugary soft drink a day dramatically increases men's odds of developing aggressive prostate cancer. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, back with details in a moment.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy. It's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
If you're a man who chugs soft drinks, I've got some bad news. A 15-year study finds men who drink just one can of soda a day were a whopping 40% more likely to develop prostate cancer than those who avoid the stuff. Swedish researchers tracked the diets and health of 8,000 men. They found a clear link between soda and sugary soft drinks and more aggressive, fast-growing forms of the disease. Their analysis also linked consuming large amounts of rice, pasta, cakes, and sugary cereals with a less serious form of prostate cancer. So, fellas, swap that soda for water. The family jewels will be very grateful. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
God has not left man to grow.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. For every Christian, Jesus Christ is never far from us. He's always near. He abides in us and we abide in him. He lives in our heart. Therefore, regardless of the circumstances that surround us, despite the mess we are in, we need not be anxious for anything. As we come before the Lord Jesus in prayer, he will bring us great peace in spite of what we know. He will guard our hearts and our minds in the assurance that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We rejoice, not ignoring the desperate plight of fallen man, but in the full assurance of faith, believing that there is still hope in the midst of this chaos. Peace can be found by those who put their trust in Jesus. That is a reason to rejoice again and again and again. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in you, our Prince of Peace. Amen.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we have Mr. Paul Summers with us. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm great.
Hey, man, you sound good. Okay, your level's perfect.
Okay, awesome.
And I invite him in because all of us know how it is to start doing ministry and getting things going, and they don't realize how long it takes sometimes to make things happen, and how much it's really just trusting God. But then we work in a society today that internet and TV's captivated people, and he's got some curriculum. We're going to talk about the curriculum in a little bit, and he has some things that he's doing on his website, and wants you to understand what he's doing and his heart and the teaching that he does. But we wanted just to get to know him just a little bit, and if he could just talk to us just for a few minutes about, you know, his heart and how he found the Lord and his upbringing and stuff like that, and what's helping him today raising his kids as well.
Okay. Well, first of all, probably like many of listeners, you're born into a denomination or something. I was born Catholic, so to speak, and just grew up, and after, you know, many years just going to different churches and being around church but not really having a relationship with God, and then walking away from church and everything for several years during my 20s, and about 29, 30 years old, coming back and realizing that basically all my decisions in life weren't working out too well on my own, and realizing that I needed God and really needed to understand what that meant. And so so after, you know, chasing the world and chasing success and girls and other things that I thought were important, God made me realize what was really important and brought me back. And I understood the gospel for the first time personally for me as a personal relationship with God. So kind of started there. And so then from that, been now married for 12 and a half years, have three beautiful children, a girl and two boys. So as you can imagine, that keeps me very busy, those of you that have children. And just loving on them, trying to raise them in the Lord, trying to also, it's amazing how sometimes you realize how you reap what you sow, and things from your past come up and you have to struggle and get through and pray through and be healed of those things so that you can properly raise your children, because they basically do more of what you do than what you say. As I'm sure David can attest to that as well.
Amen. Amen. So tell us what type of ministry you're doing right now. What are you structuring? Because I know we've been talking to him probably about a year now, maybe, or 6 months.
We talked off and on, yeah, for close to that.
And then we're just, he has some books coming out, and they're not just regular books. We're going to talk about that as well. But also, where is your God leading you in your heart? What's your ministry to the body?
Okay. My ministry to the body is twofold. Basically to the body, and then outside that is to teach and educate the body. In other words, from teaching, I'm going to start a teaching on my website, which is onlyoneway.net, the number one, so onlyoneway.net, and I'm going to start teaching through the Gospels. Should be this week or first of next week, so you could go on there and subscribe to the teachings and articles and things. And what I'll be also about educating is also educating on what is going on in our world, what is happening in the church, outside the church, in our culture, understanding how to have a biblical worldview. So it's a teaching and educating. And then after that, also being a welcome place for those that may find it that may not know church or know God or know who Jesus is, those type of things as well. So I want to do a little bit of both. So it'll be kind of a combination of those things on the website. But I guess my biggest passion is that people actually begin to study the Word for themselves and not just rely on
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not the spiritual advisor, so to speak. It's not my job. Even if I was a pastor like I was before, it's still not my job for you and your personal relationship with God. That's still eventually about you and your ability to study. But I want to help you as we walk through the Gospels, for example, on how to study the Word, what to look for, so that you begin to see these things naturally as you read a Word, and the Word doesn't become like most people that come to me so often say, I don't know where to start. 66 books, where do you start? I don't have a clue. How does it all fit together? And so I'm praying that just beginning the life of Christ, that we can kind of see how things fit together better, and make the Bible a little smaller. Kind of like my curriculum does the same thing. Kind of the idea that make the Bible a little bit smaller to where people can grasp it, and you see the continuity in it, and you see how God never changes.
When you're teaching people, is there some things you keep in mind that to make it smaller? Some things that you keep in mind, or things you purposely do to present it better to them?
One of the things I do is try to, like in my introductory lesson, kind of teaching how I teach, is asking basic questions like the who, what, when, where, why, how, those type of things that we always look for, and seeing how these things connect, and also seeing the importance of context. You know, you always hear about people talk about context. What does that really mean? Because that means a big deal. Because, for example, if I don't know what Jesus' audience would have understood when he said certain things, then I can't then give that to you.
Okay.
In other words, I can't give a 21st century answer when it's a first century teaching.
That's true.
No context. I always ask people, when was the context of the Bible? None of it was after the first century. No context biblically is after the first century. So if I want to understand Jesus, then I need to understand him in his own context, in his own world, and then I can better understand how to portray that and give that to the listeners. And so I want to make sure, in other words, that I'm not just trying to make it sound good and make it work for today, but that it really does work for today.
Now, what prepares you, though, as far as how do you get in their mindset as far as back then, it's before the 21st century?
You have to study. I mean, you have to know what that world was about. You have to know the customs and the manners and what, as one scholar says, the Hebraisms, you know, just things that don't translate from Hebrew to Greek. Because we know there was a Hebrew Matthew, for example, that was written before Greek. Many people believe there was an Aramaic and a Hebrew version before the Greek was written for the Gospels. At least the first three, the Book of Acts, Revelation, and a few other books, there's some debate on. But the point being is just things that go from Hebrew to Greek that don't translate. So they're just woodenly brought over.
All right.
And when you look at those, what was Jesus saying? Obviously, he was speaking in his language, in his tongue, and to the people for them to understand. And so as you break some of that stuff down, it doesn't become so complicated and overwhelming to people, and we can grasp what really Jesus was trying to say to us.
Now, have you discovered different things that is taught this way, but then when you go and break it down and make it smaller and you try and get to their mindset, have you discovered things that aren't taught correctly?
Yeah, I have discovered things. Just for example, of when we take, because when I teach the Gospels, I'm going to teach all four chronologically.
Okay.
So one interesting thing, and I know because I preached this myself, was when I was sitting there preaching, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the people are putting the branches down, and he's coming in on the donkey, you know, we're all excited. And then, you know, a few days, you know, a chapter later or whatever, you know, they're saying, crucify him, crucify him. And what's going on is that I talked that the same people that said, you know, blessed is he, is also the same people that said, crucify him. But if you study all four Gospels, you find out that the crowd that said this and the crowd that said this were two different things. And so as you diagnose those things and really look at them, you begin to then see what's really going on, as opposed to making assumptions, or because somebody taught you at some point, you always just believe that.
So are people sometimes surprised at that, or they're like, are you sure?
Oh, absolutely. No, I get a lot of people going, I never heard that before, or I never heard that perspective. And I tell them, I said, just do the research and look, because again, I can still err. I mean, I'm a man like everybody else, but
absolutely,
I'm doing my best to present truth and look at the backgrounds of these things and look in the original language and do the best I can to present it so that I am giving truth and I'm not giving assumptions or just traditions
yeah.
So often we're,
yeah,
all of us have stuck into traditions, and one day we go, oh, the Bible doesn't actually say that.
Now, you look at a lot of the ministries that are on radio, television, or they're well known around the different cities and stuff. Most of those pastors have a certain teaching that they teach that's their favorite thing, or that's where their go-to sermons are, or that's right, what they're known for. You know, like me, I would be an encourager and talk about healing because that's really where God uses me. I encourage people, or I talk about healing and see the healings.
Okay.
Now, is there a certain subject throughout the teaching that you do? I mean, because you seem like you can teach anything. Is there something that is your go-to or people know you by?
Well, eventually I'm going to have some teachings that I've done in the past that aren't recorded anywhere because, of course, in the past I never recorded anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know I'd be doing this one day. And so there are teachings I'll be bringing up. My favorite things to teach are apologetics type stuff. I love for us to be able to stand up to our faith. And we don't have to throw our brains out the window, you know, because we're Christians. And that's what the world, the media tells you. Well, if you're Christian, you know, you don't really know anything. You're intellectually, I guess you say, it's out of loop. You don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's not true. And so I like apologetics. I love relationships because my wife and I both have part of our testimonies as doing about everything you can do wrong in relationships. I mean, when you have no moral compass in relationships, you just kind of do whatever you think is the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's not how you live. That's not how you're supposed to live.
Right. But you don't realize it. You just kind of by, I guess, instinct, so to speak. I mean, it's a sad way to put it, but in a way, you just kind of follow whatever feels good at the moment and whatever looks good at the moment or whatever it is. And that's our flesh, and that's our sinful nature. And that's my wife and I both had that background. And so because of that and our struggles with that, we have done premarital counseling. We've done courting counseling.
Okay.
We've done a lot of those type of things to help people. And I just pray that through the ministry and these different types of teachings that they'll reach people where they are. And because, again, how many of us have been in a spot where you feel like you're the only one ever gone through that?
Hmm.
You know,
a lot of us. A lot of us.
Yeah, you know you're not, but you feel that way.
Yeah. And then one thing that happens is when we're going through something, we kind of stay away from everybody. And we don't share, and the stuff gets bottled up. And then we make bad decisions, or we stay in a situation where we shouldn't be. So,
amen.
I think that something like that they have a website that they can go to and at least reach out and through email, contact or whatever, right. And have discussions and start seeing where other people are going through it.
Mm-hmm. It will be an interactive website. It's not yet,
okay.
But it will be very soon where daily things will change on there. New articles. There will eventually be a blog. There will be a place where you can send in comments. If you there's something you hear and you go, I don't know if I believe that, that's okay. I mean, I don't need for everybody just to believe what I say. I need people to look at what I say and say,
amen.
Can I see this? Does
amen.
This line up with Scripture? And if I don't see it at first, is it because I don't know anything about it? Because I haven't researched it myself?
Mm-hmm.
And because I've done the same thing. I hear something, and I used to at one time in my life, I go, that doesn't line up with what I knew to be true. But then as I studied it, I go, there's validity to that. And I need to look at the Scriptures that this person is talking about, because there is some truth to that. And so I've learned over the years, learned over the years that I must realize that I don't know everything and I got to continue studying. So I have people that pour into my life as well.
Okay.
As well as me then pouring into other people. So.
You know, one good site that I thought of when you were saying this is one good site that you could visit. It's the Salvation Army's new site, savn.tv. Those guys are awesome. They have an awesome site that's into helping people. So if you just to get an idea how their chats are, it's completely different than what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but it gives you an idea how they set up a social site within the site. You don't know it's a social site. You don't know you're
right.
interacting. They have videos. They have plenty of blogs.
They just put out an amazing video on human trafficking.
Yes, that is their focus. I had them on the air with me. I had both their heads on the air with me, and we did a great. Their names are slipping. I'll get the names in a little bit, but
that's all right.
They're awesome. And Guy Nolan, that's the main guy. He was an action star, stuntman and stuff, and he just did a lot of stunts and stuff. Worked for Universal's. He's done his background's movie directing, teaching, and all that. So he really used all that for this website, and they're really reaching people. I mean, they're like they say that the street corner is no longer the street corner; it's the internet.
Oh yeah,
and that's what they've changed their entire focus is just focus driven to the internet. Now they still have people going out there because you need to go out there and knock on doors.
Oh, absolutely.
But he's casting a net. Is what he said. He's casting a net. People at our home are the ones that are miserable. They're depressed. They're like we said. They're kind of like go by themselves. They won't do anything. They'll go away from the social people,
right.
and be alone. And they're reaching people. But I feel that your site's going to be just as awesome and in a different way, of course. But that's just that's a good place to look at and just get some ideas. That's what I do. I go through sites and see, I like that idea. Let me see how I can
absolutely.
Do that and stuff. And especially in the media and the broadcasting, you always got to be up to date with what everyone else is doing.
Right,
but with all that, tell us your plans for the site. What are you going to have on that?
Well, my main focuses right now are the teaching.
Okay.
First of all, the teachings that I'll be doing. I'll be doing going through the Gospels, but I'll also be doing some specific teachings separately that I just talked about a little bit. On different topics, topical type things. That'll be, you know, just maybe 1 or 2 week kind of thing. And then focusing on my curriculum, which I wrote. I wrote a curriculum that I like to call chronologically theological. In other words,
okay.
as I chronologically start at Genesis 1 and we move through Scripture, we theologically deal with terms. In other words, instead of shying away from terms like redemption and just skipping them and trying to put some word in there that really doesn't give us the same understanding, but instead, just putting the word in there and just defining it for people.
Amen.
You know, instead of worrying about it. I mean, we need to know because obviously the Scripture was written with these certain words. So all we got to do is just simply define them like we define any other term, just like your children learn in school.
Yes.
They learn a new word, and that's all we're doing. And so as I walk through there, we define the terms from the original understanding from the Hebrew so that we understand that the first time it was used and get the understanding of that word. And then as we see it through Scripture, I'll refer back because God, again, continues to reveal the same things over and over and teaches the same things. Of who he is, and he's consistent throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And that's what the curriculum does. I got the student version, and I'm just finishing up the adult version. And basically, it is for anybody, and the reason I'm saying this for it, because the website is part of that, is the push. It's right there on the front page. It's one of the main things. Is for people, because I'm amazed when I go speak at how many people say, I've never been through the Bible. There's books of the Bible I've never, ever even opened up.
Mm.
Or maybe I referred to one verse or something, but that's it. That's the only time they ever went there. And so trying to get people to actually walk through the Scriptures, see the consistency of God, see that the grace that he gave in Genesis 3 is the same grace he gives in Revelation 22. And yes, we have more information about it as we go,
yeah.
but it's still the same grace, still unmerited favor, same idea.
Absolutely.
And so as we see that beauty of grace and the beauty of love and compassion, but we also see that God is just and that God is a God of covenant and that we have a part to play in that covenant, and all those type of things that we consistently see through Scripture. And it walks through there, and you have to fill in blanks. You answer true, false. There's parts where you have to think through and say,
yeah,
do you think so-and-so? And I don't give the answer. Hmm. I may give a verse, and it'll be in context.
Yeah.
But then you have to give your own answer. There's no, in other words, I don't want to lead you every step of the way. At some point, you got to go in and think and go, okay, we've been talking about this. How does this fit in my life right here?
So there's no master key to
exactly.
Amen. The Holy Spirit's the master key.
Absolutely.
And that's good because you're training them how to think.
Exactly.
In the Spirit and how to break down. And that's what they need is I've looked at people and I take it for granted, Paul. I do. I love the Word of God.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I divide it up. I get in front of God. I break it down. I'll break out whatever I need to break out. Nowadays, you just do it all on your computer. But I'm old-fashioned. I like to flip papers.
I do both.
But, you know, when you're doing the show, it's good to have the Bible gateway to boom, pull up a scripture real quick.
That's true.
And, but, you know, I love just spending time with God. And I think earlier in my life, when I was about 17, 18, I'd get in the Word strong. And 19, 20, I was in the military, 21, 22, and then got out of the military. So all I had time was to study.
Awesome. Well,
I mean, what else are you going to do? Awesome. You can go out and party with everybody else. and I loved God, and people knew I was a man of faith on the ship, and they came to me for prayer. I was the one picking them up at the bars to bring them back to the ship because they sent me with the truck, of the ship's truck to go pick them up. So,
and that was part of what God was having you do at that moment.
Yeah, and I was serving in that way, but I was just learning the Word, and I fell in love with learning. Mm-hmm. But I take it for granted that love, and I think the question I get most and from family members and even friends is, where do you start? How do you study? What do you do? And this kind of curriculum.
This is how this came.
Yeah, let me see
that. This is the question, and the reason that came right there was because of that question.
And that's the journey. So tell us about the journey.
Well, basically, our salvation is a journey. Scripture is very clear in verses like 1 Corinthians 15, first couple of verses, Philippians 2, 14, I believe it is, that salvation is a journey. In other words, we don't... We come to somebody, we meet them, say, hey, David, when were you saved? We act like it was past tense. But Scripture talks about salvation as a past, present, future idea.
Yes.
And so we're continually on that journey. So that was the idea of Scripture, is that as part of our walk in the faith, we're supposed to be growing in the Lord. You know, the Scriptures that talk about, you know, you should be mature in your faith now, but instead you're still on milk instead of meat. You know, and there's various verses like that we need to understand that God asks us to grow in who He is.
Absolutely.
In other words, we shouldn't rest on, you know, you even mentioned it earlier about, you know, what are those teachings or sermons we pull out that we really love to do over and over again. And not that I don't do that occasionally, but to be honest with you, I'm always wanting God to give me something new.
Fresh.
I want to study a scripture that I haven't really studied in depth before, so God will show me something different. And I want that because it's important to stay fresh on that, because it keeps me fresh, because believe me, there's times, you know, being married, three kids, sometimes you're just like, you know, this is a rough day today. I need God to show me something and spend time in prayer and to be studying something new and for Him to, you look at something, you ever looked at something in Scripture and you go, I've never seen that before. I've read
absolutely.
It 25 times.
Yeah, it happens. You know? It happens. It happens. And you look at it, you're just excited about it. And one thing everybody needs to know, if you're following the faith, you need to be doing two things, and that is praying and reading the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Because that's the only way you're going to get stronger. A lot of people always tell me, well, I'm not in my ministry yet, or I don't know where God wants me to be spent, and how my time, where am I supposed to go take it to bless? I want to go to mission trips. Well, do you know the Word of God? Have you dissected it? Have you understood? Because only by dissecting the Word of God will you find your will.
Early in ministry, and I say this not to my benefit whatsoever, this is totally God, because I was young in my faith.
Okay.
So this is totally God. When we were working with singles, and people would come to me with different struggles, and I would ask them three things. First, before I'd give them any advice or counsel or anything, I'd say, how's your time in the Word? How's your prayer life?
Amen.
And are you serving in any way? And when the people diagnosed those three parts of their lives and begin with their lives and begin to get those in order, it was amazing how the struggles would usually go away or diminish greatly. And again, that was just God teaching me that, because I had never read that anywhere.
Absolutely.
Just one day He just showed me. He's like, this is what you have to tell people. And I was like, thank you, Lord, because I was still young in my faith and trying to understand how to lead as well as how to grow. But it's important, as you look at the journey and as you this curriculum and you walk through it, by the time you get to the end, you know, you'll understand the basics of most of the book. It's all chronological.
Okay.
So, for example, I skip Psalms and Proverbs, things like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I may refer to Psalms and Proverbs from other places, but I don't walk through Psalms and Proverbs because this is a chronological deal. And so you're looking at the chronological historical type stuff. And so you'll move through the chronological historical stuff in the Old Testament, and then you'll move into to the New and start with the life of Christ. And, of course, then Paul and the missionary journeys and those type of things. And but I'll keep referring back and forth, and there'll be consistency of that. So you'll start seeing these common words and common ideas of who God is and how he wants you to live. And so by the time you finish that, you'll have a real grounding. I believe that this is not only a this curriculum, but it's also, I believe it's a reference tool. I believe it's a thing that you could pull back off the shelf and look at your notes and look at certain ideas and scriptures and certain types of things on a basic level, not too deep. I do plan to write another one where I go deeper.
All right.
And but for right now, it's a great place to start if you've never, if you're a young believer, if you've never walked through the scriptures, or if you still sometimes don't have that smaller picture of scripture where you're still kind of all over the place. It'll help pull some things together for you.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, what's been the response for those that have purchased this or have gone through the journey?
Fortunately, being on a small scale and, you know, not
yeah,
sell,
sure.
you know, and just kind of doing this, I've been able to keep in touch with a lot of people that bought it, and a lot of people are doing it like in a little small group type thing or one-to-one kind of thing, like mm-hmm. a discipler and a disciplee, so to speak. And I actually did get an email giving me about 10 things that the students, I asked them personally about it. And one of the biggest responses were that it made me look at parts of the Bible I never looked at before.
Okay.
It made me actually have to look at terms that I never would have, like I would have just glazed over before, never would have defined them myself. And then it also, one of the things it said is that, and I actually, one of the things that kept being over and over again in that email that I got was people said, I like the fact that you talk to me as if we're having a one-on-one conversation. Because I write it as if I'm talking directly to
you. That's important because I don't know if you've ever noticed in recent church services with people with phones and iPads supposed to be paying attention to the service, but they're doing other things. I hardly ever take a Bible when I'm a guest, when I'm just visiting a church. Mm-hmm. I always say, I know it's on my phone. But it's like I can tell that they're just, my brother is probably the chief one. It's like I'm always smacking him, saying, hey, "Listen to the service." And it's yes, I know. But anyway, it's like they're supposed to be. Who cares about your Twitter and your Facebook? And unfortunately, almost in any area that we where there's jobs and conferences or
right.
meetings, someone's messing with their phone.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good that this becomes one to one. That you know, it's good that it's taught in a small group as well, because that's where you're going to keep their attention and stuff.
Right.
Tell everybody your website that you have.
Website is onlyoneway.net, and that's the number one. It's not spelled out, so it's onlyoneway.net. And you can go in there and subscribe, and I'll send you the teachings. I'll send you the articles and those type of things. And there's some other interesting things you'll find on there. Like there's a link. My wife, we also do a ministry of we believe that God gave us medicine. We believe there's man's medicine and God's medicine.
Absolutely.
And so there doesn't mean that man's medicine never works. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying what we really need to seek out first is to heal ourselves through things that he gave us naturally. And so my wife and I do that as a ministry as well, and that's connected to the website. And we have other various ways just to try to – there's things that you can even do because a lot of people think, well, I can't donate to the website. But there's things you could even do on there that you normally do that would actually go towards the website. So you can check that out. So there's some – in other words – I'm not above needing to work and sell things or whatever I got to do to make ministry work.
Hey, that's how I do it. I do the same thing. So it's part of tent making that we have.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But give them your website one more time.
It's onlyoneway.net. Only the number one way.net.
I already wrote it wrong there, Paul. Okay, I put the number there.
That's right. Yeah, because there is only, and John 14:6 is very clear. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so so there's, you know, a beautiful understanding that the world tells us there's all kinds of roads that lead there, and Scripture tells us there's one way.
Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you for allowing me to be on. It's a blessing.
Hey, no problem. And we thank Brian Cutshell for the earlier segment that he was on from the ICRS. I'm sure you enjoyed that. And Paul Sommer. Now, is it summer or summer?
Summer. S-O-M-M-E-R.
That's what I have written. I don't know why I put
right.
summer.
I like most everybody summer. Puts the S on the end. It's okay.
Anyway, and go to onlyoneway.net. Be a part of his ministry. And make sure you put the number one and don't spell it out like I just did. But I fixed that. Remember, you can text us, Rev Media, 77948. Text that. You get our information. If you do it the old-fashioned way, you can email us, david@revmedianetwork.com. I'll subscribe you to our newsletter and our information links and stuff like that. All right, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast today. I'm so grateful that you're here listening and getting blessed. We'll catch you next time on the MidWatch. God bless you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.